Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello and welcome. Welcome to an hour of mind power. But today we're going to be talking about something green. Now, there was a change in guest scheduling. So today we're going to be talking about something that we all enjoy, every single one of us. What is that? It's the green stuff. Money, 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 money. That's right. But we're going to be talking about money from a different perspective. We all have had indoctrinations, development of attitudes that we've acquired because of one experience or another. And Patricia Aberdeen is a woman that decided she was going to bring in a shift in the attitude about money, especially regarding prosperity. And I think it's very appropriate for these times that we're in because so many people will accept lack as a natural state. They lose heart. They don't feel that they can go anywhere. They're not going to be able to have an effect on their lives in a positive way. What's the gift of money? It's flexibility. You can't eat it. You can't wear it. It's a medium of exchange. And we're going to be discussing how, through an understanding of how to be conscious with money, you can live, create, and invest your values for a whole different level of prosperity. Hi, Patricia Aberdeen. Welcome to the show.
Hello, Donna. It's great to speak with you today.
Now, you have been writing for years. You were a publisher of a book, Megatrends 2000. You're a woman that researches. You do so much investigative material. Why is it that money was something that you decided you wanted to investigate? I mean, we all like it, but why even bother with that? I mean, you've gone into so many other venues. Why this one?
Well, I did go into a lot of venues, and I did enjoy some success in my life. Many years ago, I was much wealthier than I am today. But I didn't have a positive relationship with money. I came to conscious money honestly. I spent a lot of money on things that didn't bring me joy or happiness. I made a lot of bad mistakes investing in companies. Mostly when I took too much advice, relied too much on the advice of so-called experts, and didn't invest in the companies that I really believed in. And so at some point, I was generous with my money, but sometimes that generosity was related to guilt rather than joy. And so at one point I said, this has got to change. My money life has to reflect more of my spiritual life. And at the time I considered myself quite a spiritual person. This was 15 or 20 years ago, just to give you the perspective of things changing over time. Mm-hmm. And so I said, well, what if the right financial decision were also the right decision for me in terms of my personal values? And I didn't know what to expect, so I just sort of posed that as a question every time I had to make a financial decision. And gradually over time, I developed what I would call a felt sense about bringing my heart and my head together. And you know, you're very knowledgeable about spiritual matters. You know that in between the heart chakra and the head chakra is that all-important throat chakra. And if you can get your feelings and your good, sound, working brain going in the same direction, I believe that you tend to make better financial decisions because you're united within yourself.
You bring out a point, Patricia, and I'd like to stop you for just a minute,
sure,
that
please.
I think is so important. You mentioned the throat chakra. There are so many people, and I have to raise my hand on this one. It took years for me to learn how to use my voice. Now, somebody listening to me today said, oh, Donna, for heaven's sakes, you're just born to gab. I've never known you not to talk. Get real here. But when we're talking about money, it is such an emotional subject. When you look at money, it's just a piece of paper. You've got pretty pictures on it, depending on who you're looking at. And you've got all kinds of artful designs. I really think that the artists that make money, that do the designs for money, are incredibly gifted. They just do a marvelous job. But when you are really honest about this, it is very emotional. I mean, if you don't have it, there is fear. There is this fear of lack. There are all of these various components that we have to deal with.
Absolutely,
so,
Donna, absolutely.
You know, this is something, the throat chakra, speaking out, getting the emotions out about this, and having integrity with it is so important, Patricia.
It is, Donna, and that's why I call my book Conscious Money, Living, Working, and Investing with Your Values for a Sustainable New Prosperity, because the consciousness, the most important skill in conscious money, is to learn how to make consistent, conscious choices. If we make conscious choices about our personal life, we can learn to make conscious choices about our financial life. And that changes everything. That changes the world. If you make conscious decisions about the products that you purchase as a consumer, consumers have enormous power. 70% of the gross national product is attributable to consumer spending. So every time you and I buy, let's say, a fair trade product or an organic product, we are making a statement with our money that has the potential to change the world. And we can make those same choices when it comes to investing. Because I truly believe, and I've been a business reporter since I was 30 years old, and I'm not going to tell you how long ago that was. But
okay.
But fair enough, huh?
Yes, but, fair enough. I go along with that one.
But if you make those same conscious choices and say, I'm going to invest in companies that certainly observe sound financial principles. I'm not talking about not abuse. You have got to observe you have to bring the head into it. You've got to bring the sound financial principles in it. But don't block the heart out. That's that division that's all over. And even some of the smartest money gurus on television and on the radio, I tell you to block out your feelings. And as you said, Donna, that's not the way to go. But it doesn't mean you block out your mental abilities, God-given mental abilities either. You got to find that sweet spot. You got to find those places to spend your money, to invest your money, to grow your money that honor both the heart and the head. And that's really the bottom line.
I really enjoyed various points of information that you gave. One was about a professor, and he said, when it comes to dealing with money, you can change your perspectives on this. You can educate yourself. You can create a whole new reality for yourself. Now, he was talking to college students, and today, college students have debt ratios that are, I mean, it just makes you gasp. It really does. I mean, even if they're using good sense, they end up with maybe 150. I've talked with students that, depending on what their degrees are, $250,000. They just are paralyzed because they're not able to step into jobs that pay them $250,000 a year right off the bat. They're lucky if they get $40,000 a year. They have to, you know, earn their way, and they may not get what they want. So that's just one little tiny thing. But these were MBA students. And you talk about a 27-year-old student, Brandon Peel.
Yep.
And, you know, there was just so much he was discouraged about when it came to the financial market, and he's one of millions that are very discouraged. We have seen corruption. We've seen all kinds of things. We wonder, gee whiz, should we even bother investing? Just bury it under a mattress, and you'll be better off. That's not true. And tell us what he did for his shift. Now, he's 27, so we're talking about a younger person. Let's talk about what he did to make a shift, to change his perspective.
What he did is what you and I and all of our listeners today need to do. Step one is self-observation. We need to apply that wonderful spiritual phrase called self-mastery to our lives, and including our money lives. So step number one, we need to observe ourselves. And that's what Brandon did, writing in his journal, a very important part of self-observation. He noticed his thoughts and his feelings about his life. And in his particular case, it was about his career. But it could just as easily be about your financial life, about my financial life, about the expenses that we have, about the investments that we want to have, about the goals that we have for our financial life. For someone, maybe their goal is to get out of debt. And it requires some good, solid self-observation. That's step number two. Step number three is the hardest one. Because, you know, a lot of the spiritual programs that you and I love and have worked with say, well, what you do is you create a new affirmation, and that's going to change everything. Well, if you're like many people, sometimes it works and sometimes it doesn't work. Because I think there's a step that's been skipped, and that's step number two, which is to accept it. If you have a negative belief about money, first of all, be aware of it. Notice it. Go, whoa, okay, I'm walking around saying money is the root of all evil. Don't judge it. Don't try to change it right away. Just go, all right, oh, I'm walking around with this thought. What does that probably mean? Well, you know what? I guess wherever it came from, I guess I'll just accept that that's the thought I have. Now, maybe it's not true, but it's a thought. It's a thought. And so you accept it. And then finally, when you've observed yourself, when you've accepted and loved yourself, then you have the opportunity to introduce change by saying, well, how would I like to feel? What would I like to have that thought be about money? Maybe you say, I don't know how, but I know that everything's going to all work out okay. That would be a gentle way to begin. And then later, maybe you have a more potent, positive thought about money. So you have to observe yourself. You have to accept yourself and love yourself, even in your negativity. You know, the money shadow is a big part of this. And then finally, you create that new reality that you want to have.
And I like your segment on emotional intelligence. And this is something that I feel the Asian culture, I observed this when I was a little girl because of some things that I had read, that in the Asian culture, there was this understanding, don't expect something day after tomorrow, which in the Western world is what we want. We want everything
really
instantaneously.
Yeah.
But in their cultural disposition, they will say, the wise ones have said, understand, it takes time to build. Things just don't happen overnight. Occasionally, it may occur, but the odds are a gazillion to one. It's not. But it's like building a castle, building a house. You go step by step by step. Sometimes things move a little quickly, other times they don't. You have this statement in your book I really respect. Emotional intelligence is a prerequisite for self-mastery. Master your emotions and you master yourself. Master yourself and you master your money. And I think that that's such an excellent perspective, because if we take charge, if we say, I'm the boss, and I know somebody listening to this show may say, oh my Lord, you just don't know my husband, you don't know my wife, you don't know my kids. I hear this stuff from people.
Yeah.
And that's disempowering the self.
I think
we need to say, wait a minute, this is the reality. I have only $100 a month extra to spend on niceties. So we're not going out for pizza, we're not going to do that, so let's get inventive here, let's be creative. It's almost considered a bad thing by a lot of people to say that one word, that little tiny word, no.
Mm-hmm. Yes, Donna, you're so right. And, you know, if there's any silver lining to the Great Recession, it is that those attitudes that we had building within ourselves during a long period of good economic times have been questioned. And now that I call it the cheap is chic philosophy has finally come in, and people are saying, I'm not going to spend my money on that. And they're saying no in a good way. They're saying no in, oh, not, oh, no, I can't do it. I can't have it. Oh, no, it's horrible. But, No, I don't want to go there. That's not how I want to live my life. So that's very self-affirming. And you know what comes back to our old friend, the throat chakra that we started talking about earlier. What is the choice that you want to make? And can you consistently make conscious choices? You know, you're not going to have it perfect every time, but you know, self-mastery is a project for many lifetimes. But that commitment to choice, that commitment to conscious choice is going to start to change immediately. And you know, you were talking about the Asian wisdom and the Eastern wisdom about it's not going to happen overnight. You know, I kind of have a problem with some of the prosperity thinking that you and I hear a lot about, because I believe a lot of it is based on not the deep spiritual principle of prosperity, but the very human error of wishful thinking, that notion that, you know, I'm going to get that clear idea of the BMW that I want, and God's going to give it to me tomorrow. No, not going to happen. Mm-hmm. Like you said, you have to build it step by step. And another thing that I'll just say one more thing, that a lot of spiritual people that you and I love and respect don't want anything to do with business. Well, you don't have to be an expert of business about business, but you've got to open your eyes and be conscious about it. Know a little bit about what it's about. And you're going to have to, money is part of our life. You're going to have partnerships with organizations, businesses, whether it's the local dry cleaner or the bank that you go to, just as part of your life. Choose them consciously. In Conscious Money, I give people tips on how to select companies that whose values are similar to your values, to the extent that you can, similar to your values. If you want a good relationship with a business, pick a business that has good relationships with people.
Oh, that is so important. There's another point that you bring out in your book that I think is especially significant. I'm in the Seattle area, and consequently, the news often is talking about various scams that are being perpetuated. Now, this is nothing new. Scams have been going on for as long as there has been a con man as a member of the human race. I don't care if he was chasing rocks in the caveman days. It didn't make any difference. There's always one somewhere. But when we go through periods of hard times, there are always those individuals that wave their magic wands out there with sparkles and bangles and say, oh, you can have this, and I can promise you, you are going to be able to enjoy wealth, blah, 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 so on and so forth. And I think just about everybody has to go through the experience once or twice in their life, sometimes more, of being scammed in one way or another. But during difficult times, like so many people have been experiencing, there is that side of the human nature that wants something bigger than reality to give them $500 million, like a lottery ticket, $500 million, and oh, I'll be set for life. Mm-hmm. Well, the Ponzi schemes are out there in abundance. And I really liked your comment on this, because you said if you're getting this euphoric feeling like, oh, isn't this marvelous, this could really happen, da-da-da-da, you say it's a red flag.
Red flag.
And I like your statement about checking things out, because I can tell you from personal experience, and I relate it to my audience with total honesty because it's important. I can remember I got so anxious. This is a few years back because of a critical situation that was evolving that I invested money in someone that I thought was reputable. They lied through their teeth.
Wow.
And we're not talking about $100 here. We're talking about a large amount of money, and I'd never done this before. But one of the reasons, if I have totally honesty about what I did, it was because I had a fear at the base. I could see something coming down the pike, and I said, okay, this is what I'm going to do. And it was a big investment for me. And by golly, I was taken to the cleaners.
Oh, Donna, first of all, I'm very sorry to hear that. Second of all, this is not an unusual story, but the story
right.
that you're telling. It really
right.
isn't. And third of all, you learned from it, as you said. Sometimes you just have to go through these things, because one of the tips that I give people, and I think this is chapter, now we're up to about chapter 3 about wishful thinking and the money shadow, is, you know, talk to the person who's, when you have one of these great, so-called great opportunities, talk to the real Debbie Downer in your family, you know, Uncle Fred or somebody like that. And you just sit there and listen, and you're going to hate what he says, but just sit there and listen. Hope maybe, if you're lucky, that will get you away from it. But in some cases, you might have to go through it. Please,
mm-hmm.
people, don't go through it.
Absolutely.
If anybody
and
who
I
has
hate
a great,
it.
Just remember, if it's too good to be true, it's probably not true.
And I know there are always going to be some of those special stories out there, but it is amazing how, and we'll go back to the emotion, what was at the base? I can honestly look back and say, Donna, your emotions were here.
Absolutely.
You were being practical. You were being clear. You thought you had everything in a row. But you had not checked on certain things because of trust. Now, trust is very special. It is a very special thing, and once someone violates it, that's it. But you don't want someone, and I say this to those of you listening in the audience, and I'm speaking from experience, don't be afraid to check things out. Don't be afraid to say to someone, I want references, and then you talk to the references, but you take time. You don't let other people take and manage your money. We had a guest on this show. This was about a week ago. This woman had made millions of dollars.
Wow.
And the financial advisor that she had trusted millions of dollars to, the husband goes in, he's planning on retiring. He finds that this person, now the person is now in prison, but they had taken their millions and millions of dollars from other people and absconded. It was like a Madoff with a different name.
Yep. And these are all over the place. And Donna, you know, I think that what you're saying reminds me of even legitimate investing. Even when you're investing in legitimate public companies in the stock market, let's say, and you have a financial advisor, even then, never, ever give your power away to anyone outside of yourself when it comes to your finances or anything else, because it's your money or it's your heart in a relationship situation. And you are responsible for it. And, you know, I hate to say it, we women need to always bear this in mind. We are responsible. We are responsible for it, and we must not give our power away. You can ask for people's advice. You can listen to what they have to say. But whenever I hear a woman say, oh, I don't have to worry about our investments, my husband takes care of that, or my financial advisor takes care of that, I want to say, lady, we've got to talk. We've got to talk.
Mm-hmm.
Because
mm-hmm.
you have got to learn the basics. Again, I don't want to, you know, conscious money, in the book Conscious Money, I really put things out in a simple, straightforward manner. You don't have to be an expert in business or in finance or in investing, but you've got to know some of the basic, just some basic knowledge that's going to at least give you the tools to, do the best thing possible, ask the right questions, and as you suggested in your story, take your time and
mm-hmm.
listen to people who you might not necessarily agree with. That can be the best thing for you. But
oh, I agree. Now, I like this section in your book because you're not coming at money from a fear positioning. You're saying, all right, let's come to understand how we can leverage this. Compounding in any form usually is very much an advantage, and you want to look at things in a particular way. But I really liked your section on conscious capitalist companies.
Yeah.
And the reason that I liked it is not because it's an egalitarian type of an attitude. I don't go for that route. But because you're saying, when it comes to investing, and by the way, women are very good at doing this if
Superb instincts
yes.
about money. Superb.
Yes, they do. Yes, they do. But the conscious capitalist companies, what are the three characteristics that someone needs to look at, whether they're male or female, when it comes to investing?
Well, whether it's investing or where to shop or where you want to work, conscious capitalist companies have these three traits. Number one, they care about people. They don't put money first. They don't put investors first, and they don't put money first, even though, of course, they're businesses. They want to do well. They want to succeed. They want to make a profit. But conscious capitalist companies care about their customers. Duh. If you don't have a customer, mm-hmm. you don't have a business. They care about their employees. They care about the communities they live in, and they care about the environment. So do business with conscious, with businesses that are as conscious as you are, or that have values that are similar to yours. Do business with companies who have a purpose. Their purpose isn't to make money, and a lot of the financial institutions that got us into all of this trouble had that was their purpose. I mean, they'll mm-hmm. tell you some fancy story on their website and in their business statement or whatever, but they're in business to make money. If anything, when you and I go into a business venture to make money, as I have done, and it sounds like as you have done, we're setting ourselves up for a little bit of a problem, because already that's a little distorted from what our deepest inner values are. And thirdly, do business with companies that have good values. And that doesn't matter if you want to invest in Whole Foods or Apple, or if you're going to the local auto repair shop. You know, you want to go
or
to a
consignment
place.
Shop or whatever. What you support,
absolutely.
What you believe in.
Absolutely. What you believe in. So it doesn't mean you abandon again. I say this again and again because I don't want to come off as a Pollyanna-ish. Of course you have to make intelligent decisions about money, but you have to make wise decisions as well. And you're going to make better decisions when your heart and your head are in harmony. That sets your direction clear ahead, and that sets you up to be able to make clear, conscious choices about money. And that's why I call my book Conscious Money, because conscious money is the cash, the savings, the investments, the expenditures that into which you have infused your knowledge and your wisdom and your heart.
Absolutely. I know we're sort of running out of time here, Patricia, and your book, Conscious Money, is just wonderful. But I want to give a quote by Buckminster Fuller that you have in your book. He said, "You never change things by fighting the existing reality. Instead, build a new model that makes the existing model obsolete." And I think that that is priceless, because that is real wisdom. When we go to war with ourselves about money, when we beat ourselves up, which I've been there too, you say, oh, this is stupid, oh, blah, blah, blah. Instead, you say, wait a minute, this is where I am, this is what I have to deal with, what strategy am I going to take so that, one, I won't repeat the mistake, but two, so that I can move forward to really where I want to be. So I think that that quote is a very good note to end the show on. Do you have something you'd like to say to my audience before we say goodbye? By the way, we need your website, too. Where should they go for information on the book?
Okay. It is, my last name is spelled a little unusually, but it's www.patriciaaberdeen.com, and my last name is spelled A-B, as in boy, U-R-D-E-N-E. And you'll find everything.
PatriciaAberdeen.com. Check out her website. She's just a very interesting person. But I know that the book Conscious Money has a deep value, because it allows you to put yourself in a positioning of authority, number one. Number two, it educates you in a way and manner that you adopt what's going to work for you. And number three, it will help you understand, no matter what's going on, recession or not, life is what you make it, and you can turn things around for yourself in a surprising way, but you must think things through, and don't be afraid of your fears, your apprehensions, because, you know, usually that's what gets us into hot water. We get so scared, we don't work things through, and that's one of the gifts that the book Conscious Money gives you. Patricia Aberdeen, much success to you, and do let me know when you come out with your next book. I wish you the very best. Conscious Money is a significant publication. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Donna, and all the best to you.
This is Donna Sebo. We're going to be taking a break in a moment. Don't forget, check out Patricia Aberdeen. Her last name is A-B-U-R. A-B-E-R-D-E-N-E. PatriciaAberdeen.com. Check it out. You'll find a lot of good information there. We're taking a break. We're going to be back in just a moment. Don't go anywhere.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature. However, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Are you taking too many oral pain pills and concerned about the side effects? Are you having trouble getting to sleep at night because of the pain? Well, I'm Lou Paradise. I had the same problems you have, cured my pain, eliminated pain pills and their side effects by developing Toprasin, pain relief and healing cream. Toprasin relieves pain without the side effects. It doesn't burn, it doesn't smell, and it doesn't stain. But don't take my word for it. Doctors, pharmacists, and pain specialists are using and recommending Toprasin and ending the suffering for thousands of people just like you. We know you hurt. We want to help. We are so sure that Toprasin will work for you. We offer a money-back guarantee. So if you want the pain relief without the side effects, ask for Toprasin. Toprasin is available at Duane Reade, Quick Check Pharmacies, and Wegmans. Ask for Toprasin or call 1-800-959-1007 for a store near you. That's 1-800-959-1007. Toprasin, the last pain medicine you'll ever need, and you can sleep on that.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. I'm so delighted we have been able to share this information with you. If you feel like you're a little bit confused because we were going to be having our guest on No One Has to Die, we're going to be talking with Lanny. Well, at the last minute, the guest had to be switched. So my guest that was scheduled for today was the one that was scheduled for tomorrow, and the one that's scheduled for today is going to be on tomorrow. Are you confused yet? Don't worry about it. Just enjoy it, and it's really interesting when I have these things occur, and this month has been wild and wacky. Anyway, telephone lines are now open. You can give me a buzz at 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. That's the magic of radio, adaptability, and that's what you have to be. By the way, for those of you in Western Washington, I want to extend an invitation to you to join me and Robert Newman in the final class of the year of Quantum Mind 4. This is a class that's going to enable you to prepare yourself not just for the now, but also for the brand new year that will be coming up. Robert is going to be talking about health and longevity, sharing with you some of the secrets of Chinese medicine for wellness and to enjoy a life that is going to be rich and full. Also, I will be doing my section of the class on psychic development. Every one of you listening to this show have psychic abilities, but it expresses within you in its own unique way, and that's what you're going to have an opportunity to explore. We'll be working with color. We'll be doing exercises. This class is very interactive, and that's one of the joys. We're limited to 25 people. If you would like to be in this class on November 23rd, that's a Saturday, set aside a day for yourself. Invest in yourself. 10 to 4, give me a call, and the information is up on my website, DelphiInternational.com. Check it out. I'd love to have you there. We just have a marvelous time. And by the way, we do serve you lunch. So give me a call at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604. And next week, I am heading up to the magnificent state of Alaska on a business trip, so you'll be hearing broadcasts from the far north. And if you are in the state of Alaska and you would like to meet with me in person or by telephone, depending on where you are, again, call my office, because I am going to be doing a radio show up in Fairbanks, but also I will be doing private sessions with people. So give me a call at my office, 253-582-5604. I wanted to share a story with you since, Patricia, we were talking about money and we were making comments, and I told you about a horrible mistake that I made. And the reason I think it's important to share these stories with you is because you need to know you're not alone. If you have, putting it bluntly, screwed up badly, and you just are pounding on yourself and just saying, oh, how could I have been so stupid? Get over it. And the reason I say it is it absolutely will emotionally drain you. And I'm going to share a story with you about a couple. I call them Sam and Sally. Sam and Sally were a young couple. Sam had not done very well with money. Sally was very practical, down to earth. When they got married, she had never had a problem with debt. She didn't owe anybody anything. Credit rating was just outstanding. But Sam's was not. Sam had gone through an emotional tsunami a couple of years before he had met his wife, and he really had mucked up pretty badly financially, and had ended up, the year before he met his wife, in a bankruptcy, and he was totally responsible for it. So his credit was in the toilet. Well, they decided after they got married, they'd been married, Sam and Sally had been married for about a year, and they wanted to get a new car. Well, because of Sam's bankruptcy, nobody was interested. Nobody was interested in giving them any kind of credit loan. And at the time, and it still happens today, ladies, by the way, the wife was discriminated against. Even though she was making a good income, she was discriminated against. Well, as it turned out, and this couple lived in California, they happened to go into a bank. They went into a number of different banks. They went into this one bank. They had moved. They had relocated into a new area, and they go into this community bank. And the woman was, the woman that was the manager of the bank, was the person that they talked with. So she heard the story. There was no secrets. They didn't hide anything about what the husband had done prior to their marriage. So she gave them a suggestion. She said, I want you to do something. I want you to go to every one of the creditors that were involved in the bankruptcy, credit card companies, etc. Ask them if you can pay off the debt without adding any additional interest. And there were some credit cards in here that the husband had to go, you know, flat on. So what occurred is she said, I want you to bring to me, if you want to get an automobile loan, I want you to tell me exactly what the money is that was owed in the bankruptcy settlement, who it was owed to, and I want you to work out a budget to pay it off within 1 year. Well, interestingly, the young couple said, oh, okay, all right. So they went home. Sally worked out all of the information. They contacted all of the credit card companies what that money was owed to. Now, at the time, they owed, oh, I'd say in today's dollars, the equivalent of about $15,000. For them, that was astronomical. And what Sally did, because her husband was working, he had a very good job, she took their income, looked at the dollars, and said, we could pay off each of these companies. We'll start off with the smaller amounts on the credit cards that we that you had owed money on. And they went in and they worked everything out. They contacted the credit card companies. The credit card companies said, if you're willing to pay off the existing debt, we will work with you. Not one of the credit card companies turned down the opportunity to be paid back. And a payment plan was worked out for the year where the $15,000 would be paid in full. That sounds like a lot of money. It is a lot of money. Do you know this young couple went back to the bank, talked to the bank manager. The bank manager was stunned that this had even been worked out. And she said, okay, you need to do something else. You need to, one, pay these people off and come back to me in a year. And if you pay this off, I guarantee you you're going to get a loan. But you also need to reestablish credit, because the husband's credit was so bad. She said, you need to have something that you get, put it on layaway, a payment plan. It doesn't need to be a whole bunch of money, but you need to do something that you can pay this off. Again, within the year. So she put a second request on them. No big deal. The young couple needed a new couch. They found a company they could get a couch from. Didn't care about their credit rating. They just made an agreement, and they paid a few dollars a month. It wasn't a big bill, but it was still money going out. But it was for a purpose. Not for ego, not for satisfaction, but a demonstration of responsibility and accountability. This young couple only had $1 a month extra. Now, can you imagine? They couldn't go to anything. They had to make do for one solid year. The wife was often put under pressure by the husband saying, oh, can we do this? This is terrible, because it was not in his temperament to be that disciplined. But they held the course. 1 year to the day, they had paid off every single one of the people that money was owed to, or I should say companies. And they also had paid off an item that they had had on a payment plan. They walked into the bank, talked to the bank manager, and in the interim, they would go into this bank and they would visit with the banker, the bank manager. Do you know, they presented the information of all the debts that they were able to clear, had all of the details, the letters of acceptance from the credit card companies that the bill had been paid in full. Then what occurred was just amazing. Not only did she give them a loan, but she said to them, I can't tell you how many people I have tried to encourage to do what you've done, and in all the years of banking, I've never experienced this with another couple. You have done something nobody's done before. I never expected to see you again relative to a loan, ever. She was thrilled to be able to sign the paper for that loan, and the loan was like for $20,000. But the couple learned something else later on. The couple learned that because they had paid that off, when they went to do work with the car dealership, and they did a credit check on them, there wasn't a sign of the bankruptcy. There was not a sign of bankruptcy on their credit reports. It was non-existent. It had been wiped clean. Now, the reason I share this story with you is because it's so important for you to understand that if people tell you that something cannot be done, there may be a way. But this young couple, for a year, had to hold true to this. They couldn't have parties. They couldn't do anything that maybe they would have liked to have done under normal circumstances. The discipline of doing what they did established trust and faith with a banking institution that supported them in everything they wanted to do. And I think that this is something that is so vital for us to remember. And it is applicable in so many different ways. If you're in a situation that needs to be resolved, don't be afraid to change the reality. You don't have to succumb to it. You can be disciplined and take care of certain responsibilities. But this young couple was able to get a loan forever after, no trace of the bankruptcy. When they'd share their story with other people, as they did with me, others said, oh, that's not possible. Yes, it is. So I just want you to know that. Sally and Sam, they did it. They did it. So can you. Remember, where you are right now is not the destination.
Have you ever had a friend tell you about a product they really believed in? Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Toprosin is a homeopathic cream that is just fabulous. I use it and my friends use it for relief of painful discomfort such as aching muscles and sore feet. Odorless, non-greasy, it is a product that belongs in everyone's medicine cabinet and first aid kit. Check out www.toprosin.com. That's T-O-P-R-I-C-I-N. And find out more information. You can order Toprosin online or call 800-959-1007. That's 800-959-1007. Be sure to give them the code DS30 and you'll receive a 30% discount. Toprosin, non-toxic, safe for children too. This is a product that really works. Try it. I think you'll like it.
Do you have children between the ages of 3 to 10? Do you love children's books and collect them? Then you'll want to know about God's Kiss, the award-winning illustrated children's book that has been enjoyed by families around the world. 15 beautiful illustrations by Pacific Northwest artist Ed Gedrose accompany this lovely story about a little boy named Johnny that will capture your heart and mind in a very special way. Multicultural and non-denominational in content, it will become a family favorite that you and your children will want to read again and again. This book is available by itself through Amazon, or if you contact me, Donna Sebo, directly, you can get a personalized signed copy. There is also a talking book. You can order the talking book CD by contacting me via email, donna@delphiinternational.com, or by calling 253-582-5604. You can also visit my website, delphiinternational.com, to see more details. God's Kiss is a family classic that belongs in everyone's library. Get your copy now.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. All I need from you, if you're a first-time listener, is your first name or initial. And, of course, I love to know where you're calling in from. Excuse me. So give me a buzz at 888-627-6008. Now, tomorrow, No One Has to Die Alone is my guest, Dr. Lanny Leary is going to be with us. And again, I apologize for the confusion. You're not dizzy. You didn't misunderstand anything. It's sometimes just the way it works out with guests. Schedules change, so we have to reverse them. All right. I want to thank those of you that are sending me these wonderful, wonderful stories and videos, and I try to include them in my newsletter. And by the way, if you want to know more about my newsletter, just go into Delphi International, D-E-L-P-H-I, International, the whole word, so you're going to have two eyes, back-to-back, .com, and you'll be able to review it. And if you'd like to be on my email list, just send me an email. Okay, I wanted to share this particular story. I just absolutely adore stories about people who have just done incredible things with their lives. And there is a woman, she passed away recently at 100... Let's see, what was it? She was 102. 102. My grandmother passed away at the age of 91, and when I saw her for the last time, I was just astonished at when I thought about how she was in horse and buggy days. She was born in 1900. She lived on a farm in Virginia. The longest drive they ever had was to town, whatever that was, and it was a full day's event when you went. And they had to be self-sufficient. The world was so different. And my fondest memory of her is standing and talking on a telephone, a portable, and she said, excuse me, I have another call coming in. And I just laughed. I thought, look at the distance of change that has evolved in her lifetime. Well, my goodness, in my lifetime and in your lifetime, the speed of change is just going to be incredible. But what about if you had wanted to be a pilot? Well, Evelyn Stone is the name of this lady. She was born on November 4th, 1909. And by the way, this came from Kazan, a gentleman that puts out, he does research on stories of significant people. And this woman is just amazing. Her mother was a school teacher. Her father was a conductor on the Louisville and Nashville Railroad. Now, because of her parents' support and encouragement, remember, she was born in the early 1900s. She went to college. That's right. She went to Tennessee, Wesleyan College, and most women at the time were not in college. No, it just wasn't done. But her parents said, we want you to get an education. Well, what was available for women? You became a teacher or you became a nurse. I mean, there were very few jobs that were available to women. They just wouldn't allow women into the working marketplace. Now, she met her husband in 1931, and they lived through the Great Depression. And do you know what they did? And 2 years after they married, so in 1933, when everything is in the toilet financially, equivalent maybe to what we have today on a different level, they borrowed $250. Now, that doesn't sound like very much in today's world. Then, that was humongous. They decided they were going to open a laundry and dry cleaning shop. Well, they had big dreams. However, World War II came around. It hit the U.S. big time in 1941. Her husband enlisted in the Army, and he was going to fly. Guess where he ended up? He ended up in the laundry department. Aha, yes, his knowledge and experience. They said, you're going to take care of the base laundry. Well, his wife, Evelyn, wanted to fly. Do you know what? In 1944, she decided to take flying lessons. And she said, my husband started in to fly, but ended up washing clothes. I was washing clothes and ended up flying. That's right. Evelyn got her pilot's license in 1945, her commercial certificate in 1946, and she became a flight instructor in 1947. That's what the war opened up for women. For 60 years, up to 2005, when she was 96 years old, you're hearing the correct information. She piloted airplanes over 5.5 million miles. That's equivalent to 23 trips to the moon. She flew 57,635.4 hours. She spent the equivalent with those hours, 6.5 years in the air. No other woman in history did that. Not only was she a good pilot, she was a teacher. She taught more than 5,000 students to fly. By the time she stopped counting her students, and she certified over 9,000 pilots for the Federal Aviation Administration, she was teaching until she turned 96 years of age. She's the oldest flight instructor in history. She flew in airplane races, transported cargo, sold Cessna aircraft, wrote aviation industry articles, became one of the first women to achieve a helicopter pilot's license. She was so involved with planes that only one person, a man, ever piloted an airplane more miles than Evelyn, and she would have topped him had she not gotten glaucoma. But she still, even at 96 years of age, was able to fly. What stopped her? In 2006, at 97, she was in an automobile accident, and a leg was amputated. But do you know what? She was still determined to fly. But at 97, get a picture in your head, 97 years of age, she's trying to fly with a prosthesis. She said, flying isn't a problem. When she was interviewed by USA Today in 2007, she said, it's getting the prosthesis into a small plane. And she said, I'm still working on this. Now, her last flight she took was in 2009. She was 100 years old. She managed a small Tennessee airport past the age of 100. Now, she passed away at 102. And this is a woman who is barely 5 feet tall. People put limits on her. She went past them. This is something we need to keep in mind. Life is for living. Dear Evelyn, Evelyn Stone has left a legacy that someone was kind enough to share with me, and we need to remember this. Where you are right now is a magnificent moment. You don't know what you're going to be able to do. And if ever you feel like you're in a slump, think of Evelyn. Think of this woman who had a passion for flying that surpassed anybody and everybody's imagining. What a legacy she's left. And I feel so fortunate that I was sent this by one of my listeners. Thank you, Mary Ellen. I really appreciate it, and I appreciate Kazan doing all of this research. Donna Siebel here. I know we're out of time. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. I invite you to join me tomorrow, same time, same place. Life is full of wonderful happenings. Enjoy the gifts of life you're given today. Bye for now. Talk to you tomorrow.
You have been listening to The Donna Siebel Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Siebel Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.